And we want to turn now to the Trump campaign. Donald Trump was not backing off of his attacks.
You can't review 650,000 new emails in 8 days. You can't do it, folks. Hillary Clinton is guilty. She knows it. The FBI knows it. The people know it. And now it's up to the American people to deliver justice at the ballot box on November 8th.
NPR's Sarah McCammon is traveling with the Trump campaign, and we reached her in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which was one of the more surprising stops Trump is making in this final stretch. We caught her on a ground stop. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there.
How does he view his path to victory on Tuesday?
If you look at the battleground map, you know, Donald Trump does have a difficult path to victory. Hillary Clinton has an advantage in the Electoral College map. But the polls are tightening, and the campaign sees that and really want to capitalize on it. It looks like they really need to pick up a blue state or two in order to have a path to winning. And again, even though the polls are tight, Hillary Clinton has the edge there. Trump has been talking a lot about what he calls his movement. You know, he says again and again that he's been underestimated by the media, by the political establishment. This is, you know, language that his advisors have encouraged him to use to make it not just about himself, but about the people. And, you know, that's what we've been hearing this last week. He's trying to rev up his supporters, make sure they get out and vote. And he's telling them that this is their last chance to save the country, he says, and warns of dire consequences if Hillary Clinton is elected.
You know, this is a defining quality of this very kind of blunt language where he basically says whatever he wants. What has that meant for his candidacy overall? Is this what has carried his candidacy forward, or has it held it back?
Well, you know, Michelle, to me it seems like it's a little bit of both. You know, if you look at it purely as a political strategy, that tendency of Trump to speak his mind in such an unvarnished way, it's kind of his superpower and kind of his fatal flaw. The way he talks about different minority groups, immigrants, women, Muslims, and others, has earned him the disdain of a lot of moderate voters and many people within his own party. But at the same time, you know, his supporters feel like his words have an emotional resonance that kind of goes beyond their literal meaning. They see it as a defiance of the system and the political establishment that they so dislike and feel so failed by. And Trump's willingness to violate those norms tells them, in their minds, that he'll do something different.
Sarah, before we let you go, you have watched Donald Trump unleash this force in American politics over the past year and a half. You've been there. He's called it a movement. How would you sum all this up?
So what I've heard for many months from supporters of Trump around the country is they feel the country's in decline. They feel it's losing power and prestige on the world stage. But a lot of them talk to me about the future, about the next generation or their grandchildren. And they see America changing in a way that feels alien to them and that they're afraid of. Also, you know, most Trump supporters, by and large, tend to be white. And I do hear racial and cultural anxiety, although most Trump supporters don't see themselves as racist, don't want to be, and they don't think that Trump is either, but they tell me they feel threatened by the way they see the country changing, by, you know, immigration that they see as threatening their job opportunities. Some tell me they're very worried about terrorism and feel threatened by Muslim immigration in particular. Of course, these same sentiments that Trump has tapped into among many white voters are frightening and off-putting to many minority voters. And that is the very group that the Republican Party has been saying for years it wants to reach.
That's NPR's Sarah McCammon traveling with the Trump campaign. Sarah McCammon, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Let's go back to NPR's Ron Elving, still with us in studio here in Washington, D.C. Ron, briefly, what is the biggest issue for the campaigns now?
The biggest issue for the campaigns now is turnout. We have had months of talking about issues such as immigration and trade and national security. But at this point, with all the arguments having been made and the debates in the past, three of them between the two presidential candidates, with all of that, it comes down to turnout. You've got to get your people to the polls. You've got to make sure that everyone who might be for you has the opportunity to make their voice heard.
And what about early voting? Early voting has been going on for some time now. Is there any info that we can glean from that?
We know that more people are voting early than ever before. 37 states provide for it, plus the District of Columbia. We know that more than 25% of the vote is going to be cast this way, and it might be as high as one-third of the total vote before we're done. And that means that November 8th is no longer really the election day. It's really the election deadline. It's the last day to vote. It's the time that all the ballots will be opened.
That's NPR's Ryan Elving with us throughout the hour, and this is special election coverage of All Things Considered from NPR News. We hope you'll stay with us.